Wake up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Andy, good Monday morning to you, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we continue along on a President's Day. Yeah, it was some interesting stuff this weekend as we transition from the NFL into the next big thing on the sports landscape, and that'll be conference basketball tournaments leading into Selection Sunday, which leads into the NCAA tournament. But we still, the gap has been filled with the NBA All-Star Weekend, a couple of XFL games if you're still kind of interested in what this league has to offer. But the other thing that is going to go on this week is positional players are reporting into camp across both Arizona and Florida for Major League Baseball. Now, look, it's the start of spring training. You'll have games coming up this weekend that'll really start, and then we'll go through a month of that before the season actually starts. But for a lot of people around the country, this is a big deal because this is the sign that the season is coming, that spring is coming. You see, pitchers and catchers report is always the thing, right? Baseball fans always point to that. They'll say pitchers and catchers report in 80 days, pitchers and catchers report in 60 days. But it's really when the positional players get there and then you have the full squad workouts and then you start getting spring training games from these beautiful locations in the sunny Arizona desert or the sunny Florida sunshine that you start realizing baseball is coming. And the Washington Nationals will be in West Palm Beach. They are the defending champions and they're going to be opening up their spring training schedule on Saturday against the Houston Astros, which I'm sure is going to be some more conversation about how the Astros got their championship in 2017 and the process along those lines. Look, if you're Rob Manfred, you're dealing with this Astro fallout, you're dealing with these people talking about it openly, but at the same time, 2020, the season is coming, the feeling of baseball is back, is kind of permeating through. Take advantage of it because that Astro story isn't going away. It's going to stay. Though anytime you can get some real positiveness out of what you have as a sport in terms of, hey, it's starting, it's warm. I guess these are good two things to take. Yeah, it's you might as well take it because it's going to be a long season in dealing with the Astros and what they did and how people are going to react to that. SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All righty, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, President's Day Edition. Ron Culver out today, dealing with kids being at home. My kids are old enough now. It's when you get to that point when they were young, you always stress out. Like, one of us has got to stay home. One of us got, they get older. And when you reach that point where you're like, my kids are taking care of themselves now. It doesn't really matter. I don't know. It's sad because my son's going off to college soon. But at the same time, it's kind of neat. I don't have to babysit. I don't have to worry. My wife and I can go out. When they were old enough, this was always the thing. My wife and I, they always say, have a date night. And for whatever reason, my wife used to struggle with that because when we would go out to eat, my kids like to go to restaurants. So we would say, mom and dad are going out to eat tonight. You're staying with the babysitters. And they'd be like, no, we want to go with you to dinner. And my wife would go, we can't. I'm like, yes, we can. Let's go. Leave them here. It's fine. Now that they're old, we just go, yeah, we're going out to eat and you guys are on your own. There's plenty of food. Figure it out. Or here's money. Go get pizza. I don't care. Just feed yourself. My God, just go do your thing. We're leaving. So now, I feel better about that. But I really appreciate Ron spending time with his kids on their day off from school. I didn't realize you got President's Day off from school. I don't remember getting President's Day off from school when I was a kid.
I know I never did.
I don't remember it. Maybe I did, and I forgot, but I don't think I did. President's Day is like one of those holidays where it's like, is it really a holiday? Like, what are we doing? Like, you know, how do we celebrate President's Day? Spending money with presidents' pictures on it? Is that what it is? So it doesn't feel like it's a day of celebration. Maybe buying a new car or buying a furniture or something on a big President's Day weekend sale. But other than that, I don't think it's very celebratory. So, well, President's Day is President's Day. So the Las Vegas Raiders reportedly, this according to Pro Football Talk, are ready to set an offer Tom Brady $30 million a year. Larry Fitzgerald Sr. is reporting that the Raiders are ready to offer $60 million over 2 years to Tom Brady. If you are the Raiders, this makes perfect sense. If you are a Brady, do you want to play for John Gruden and the Raiders? This is not necessarily a money thing. It's more of if Brady is going to leave the Patriots, I think it has everything to do with just getting away from the Patriots and putting himself in a better position to win. I don't think it has anything to do with trying to make more money or anything like that. I think it's just like, look, I'm 43 years old. I want to try to win a Super Bowl, maybe try to win it on my own without Coach Belichick just to see. Or do you want to go to Vegas? Do you want to be part of the launch of a franchise in a new city? It's got a pretty good fan base. When I lived in Vegas, Raider fans were everywhere. In fact, I worked at a radio station in Vegas that carried the Raiders on the radio. We were a Raiders affiliate. It was a pretty good deal for us. So they're going to be in Vegas, got a brand new stadium, rocking and rolling, John Gruden, right? Do you want to do that if you're Tom Brady? Is that where you want to go? If you want to go to California, the Chargers is still available and still on the table. There's plenty of places that you want to bounce around and go check out all your options. But $60 million over 2 years seems like a sweet gig to go play for a team. The problem is this. If you're Brady and you're looking for the competitiveness of trying to win another Super Bowl, and do you really look at the Raiders and go, well, I'm the missing piece that can get them over Patrick Mahomes in the division? I don't think it is. Now, if you're Brady, unfortunately, you might have a different perception of yourself than others have. That's the one thing we talked about with Dak Prescott, for example, right? When Prescott was saying that his camp wanted $40 million a year, I was like, does he realize who he is? No, he's not supposed to realize who he is. People outside of him are supposed to realize who he is. He's supposed to think he's the best quarterback in the NFL. Even if he isn't, he's supposed to think that. That's what you want. Right? If you're a Cowboys fan, that's what you want. Brady probably has a different perception of himself at 43 than others have of him. Now, the one thing about the Raiders offering him $60 million over 2 years is this works out great because, again, $30 million to pay your starting quarterback is about right. Right? Especially if you have one as accomplished as Tom Brady. I don't care if he's 43 or not. I don't care if age is starting to creep into his game. Right? If you're the Raiders, you're going to pay your quarterback $30 million, whether it doesn't matter who it is. Might as well be Tom Brady. So it's not like they're paying him $60 million every single year that's going to completely derail their financial structure. Right? They're not going completely nuts. They're going within the reasonable realm of what you would pay a quarterback of his caliber. And they get the double whammy of entering a new stadium in a brand new city with one of the most marketable stars in the game and one of the best ever to play the position. So yeah, $60 million over 2 years is completely worth it. Even though they're not going to have trouble selling seats in the first place because, again, new city, new fans, new exposure, new enthusiasm, all of that. Not that they had any trouble in Oakland. So it works out that way. It's whether Brady wants to be in a division that's got Patrick Mahomes twice a year, division where he doesn't play particularly well in Denver. He's got to go there once, right? Does he really want to battle out one of the best quarterbacks in the game right now twice a year to try to win a division, right? Because it's hard. It's been done. We know it time and time again. It's been done. But it's hard to go to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl when you got to run through the wild card round. You know, I saw the Giants do it. We saw the Packers do it. There's a few teams that have done it. Steelers did it a couple years ago, 2005. But does Brady want to do it? Or does Brady want to put himself in a position? Because people talk about this with the Chargers too, right? It's not just the Raiders. If he goes to play with the Chargers, he's got to do that too. He's got to go play Mahomes twice. Got to, you know, play in Denver once. Not that he can't win in Denver. I mean, certainly he has, but seems to struggle there. He struggled even before Manning was with there. He struggled there a couple of times. But still, nevertheless, does it seem appealing? Does John Gruden seem to be the kind of coach he's looking for? Who knows? I think his best landing spot is the Patriots. But there's something that's telling me it's not going to happen. And there doesn't seem to be any movement on the talks. I just get this feeling he wants to go. I talk to people who cover the Patriots, some of my friends who are still back in that market, and they just all have that same feeling like, yeah, it's over. He's not coming back. They don't have any evidence, right? He's not leaking it. He's not talking to a friend who's talking to a friend who's talking to a reporter. And there seems to be, look, whenever you get a free agent availability, and you see this, you can even see this in coaching sometimes, when a team has a coaching vacancy and there's kind of that two big names or maybe one big name that is out there. And then you hear like, my friend's cousin's girlfriend's brother's knows a real estate agent who says that so-and-so is buying a house. And you're like, wow, that's really, that's amazing. Why would they buy a house in State U Central unless they're going to be coaching the football team? And in this case, there hasn't really been anybody that's done that, right? There hasn't been a guy that's like, yeah, my cousin's girlfriend's brother's sister, you know, whatever, knows a personal trainer that says Brady wants to play for the Chargers. Whatever he's thinking, whatever his family's thinking, he's kept this pretty tight. $60 million over 2 years from the Raiders. I don't think it's the selling point. I don't think it's the thing that makes him go, God, you know, I was thinking about playing for all these other teams, but the Raiders came through with $30 million a year. I don't think I think Robert Kraft would give him $30 million tomorrow if that's what he wanted. And I don't think he care what the other people in the organization would say about how that straps them. I think he would just figure out a way to make it work. But if Brady wants to go, this is a nice package deal. Good, you know, again, traditional team, new city, enthusiastic fan base, et cetera, et cetera. But a tough division because I don't think the Chiefs are going anywhere soon. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, that's where you can hit us up. Ron Culver's got the day off today on President's Day. All right, coming up, the NHL had an event over the weekend that ended tragically for one fan. But could it have been avoided? That's coming up next, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, it's O-Reward Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop in today for store-wide savings. Plus, earn double O-Reward Bonus Points on all sale items, like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and more. If you're not an O-Rewards member yet, sign up today online or in the store. Take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fast, it's easy, it's free, but hurry, double points are only available for a limited time. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. That's every day, by the way, just in case you're all wondering. Over the weekend, the Colorado Avalanche played the LA Kings at an outdoor game at Falcon Stadium in Colorado Springs. Who won? I don't care. I think the Kings won, but who cares? You know what the story out of this game was? It wasn't once again the NFL did a great job of putting together an outdoor stadium game. This looked great. It was at night. It was on a service academy football stadium, right? How great is that? No, the fact of the matter is what happened was there was a death. It looks like, it sounds like, according to local media, that a person fell from a bridge that was an overpass bridge and fell. Now, they're saying that this might have been the reason why. The other big story from this game on Saturday night was that traffic was horrific getting in and out of Falcon Stadium on the Academy grounds in Colorado Springs. Horrible. There was 43,000 people that went to that game, an outdoor game at the football stadium between the Kings and the Avalanche. A ton of them. I mean, it's not just a handful of people. A ton of them could not get in. And some did not get in until the second period of the game because the traffic was awful. I mean, absolutely awful. But so people were wondering why. Because going to an Air Force football game does not do the same thing. Now, Air Force has played some pretty big opponents that, yeah, there'll be traffic, but not traffic enough that you would miss the game if you left at a reasonable hour. And fans knew that this was going to be 40, 45, 50,000 people, so they left at a reasonable hour. Some people lived a half an hour from the stadium, gave themselves an hour to an hour and a half, and still did not get in until the second period. Now there's people screaming for refunds, but they waited on this news to say, well, there was a death. It was an accidental death, and therefore we had to reroute some traffic as emergency vehicles had to deal with it, and we had to reroute traffic through a back way into the onto the academy grounds and into the parking lot. Whether or not that's true or not, I have no idea. Because they were saying that traffic going into the stadium was terrible and leaving was terrible. So I don't know if this death had anything to do with what the big story was coming out of this. Look, the NHL has done these outdoor games now for a number of years. It's going on over a decade they've been doing these games. And they're great and they're fun. And if you've never been to one, go. They're fantastic. And now they're starting to figure out ways to put them in places that are a little bit warmer than icy, frigid, cold temperatures like Buffalo and Edmonton and places like that, Winnipeg and places like that. Now they're like, yeah, you know, it may not be 1,000 degrees below zero. We can still put an outdoor game in your place. On the 1st of January, they had Dallas at the Cotton Bowl between the Stars and the Nashville Predators. These games are neat. They're fun. They're outdoors. They're hard to see, but who cares? You're at these games. But it's sad to me because the NHL, you know, it doesn't make big news a lot. Like, it just doesn't penetrate the top news. Like, it's players, it's great performances, right? The teams that are playing great, like Tampa Bay has won 10 games in a row. Nobody even knows. But you know what is making news? The fact that this game at the Air Force Academy was a logistical nightmare in terms of traffic. People said they waited in their car 3 hours to get home. 3 hours. It's a long time to get to a point, you know? When I was a kid, I'll tell you a quick story. When I was a kid, we lived in New Hampshire, and I lived in outside of Concord, New Hampshire. If you look at the state, it's shaped like a key. Concord would be more of the middle of the fat part of the state. So that's kind of it kind of goes from like fat to skinny. And Concord is like the middle of the fat part. So you're a good 90 minutes, I think, a little maybe 90 plus minutes to Boston. And so when I was a kid, we would go to Fenway Park a lot. Sometimes we'd go on these summer nights, right? Going on like a Tuesday night to see the Yankees play or whoever was coming into town. And my father would take my brother and I, when we were kids, we'd go. But my father always left. We always left early. We never stayed for the end of the game because traffic was horrible. And many of you guys know when you were in these traffic places, and I'm sure like in Houston, it's kind of the same way. Michael, you work nights, so you probably don't go through rush hour traffic. But you know how you're in certain cities where you work in the mornings and they'll say like, look, I got to get out of the house by like 7:10. Because if I get out of the house at 7:15, look out.
Oh, yeah, like, I remember, you know what that I mean? When I used to go to school.
Right. So, I have a cousin. He works in downtown Nashville. He's like, I don't even have to be at work until, I think, 8. But he goes, I leave at 5 o'clock, 5:36. He goes, because if I leave any time later than that, I'm in traffic. Forget it. I'm not getting in. I just forget it. It just takes too long. The traffic is horrendous. So if I leave just early enough, if I can get out the door just early enough, I can get to the office at a decent hour and I'll hang out, read the paper, whatever it is, and then I'll get ready for my day. So, you know, and that's the way people are with traffic. So, you know, my father was like, look, I got to get into work the next day. I'm not going to be in Boston until midnight trying to get home in a 2-hour drive back to the middle of nowhere, New Hampshire. Right. So we used to have to leave. But nevertheless, when I got older, like I never understood when I was a kid. I was like, why do we couldn't stay to the end of the game? Blah, blah, blah. When I got older and I would go down to Fenway Park for fun, I would have that in the back of my mind. I would be like, look, I got to get home. I got to work the next morning. I got to get back to the, you know, whatever. I don't want to be in Boston. And it would be horrible if you did. Oh, my God, it would be terrible. And the same thing here. Saturday night, people waited 3 hours to get 3 hours sitting in nothing but sitting with their cars running, can't move, can't go anywhere, can't get out, and it can't get out onto the, get, you know, it's, and the Air Force Academy is right off the highway and couldn't get out. Had to take a back route. And it stinks because, again, why does it stink? Because the NHL had a really cool event. They had a really nice event. It looked really good. It was kind of, I mean, these things are kind of neat. But that was it. So it was kind of too bad. Because again, I think that when you're in the news for the wrong reasons instead of the actual games, it's pretty atrocious. Pretty atrocious. So I recommend outdoor games. I do. But if you have to wait 3 hours, take your chances. The XFL over the weekend, week two is in the books, and Houston is now undefeated at 2-0. Who else is undefeated? Is that it? Are they on top of the XFL standings? I'm trying to think. St. Louis lost. Dallas won a game. The
Defenders are undefeated.
The Defenders are undefeated. Okay. I was going to say, is Houston and PJ Walker on top of the XFL after 2 weeks? So I saw a little bit. I got to be honest with you. I wasn't as into it week two as I was week one. I watched a lot of the games in week one. I didn't really watch much this weekend. I'm not saying I won't watch. I'm not saying I won't be consuming it later. It didn't really captivate me week two. I didn't feel like, although I will have to say the cool thing about what's going on in the XFL that I think is appealing to it, the ability of this organization, this league, I should say, to get those microphones in at the right times is really fascinating to me. Somebody pointed this out in week one, and I think it's kind of cool. They said, the fact that we are listening in at halftime to what the coaches are telling these players, it almost feels like we're not supposed to be there. So if you've ever done this, you've been around, you know, the NFL for your whole life, and then you are listening in to a coach talk to his players at halftime, it feels like you shouldn't have this access. And the XFL is like, no, you should have this access. Welcome aboard. Come on in. Enjoy this. Like, listen to what these guys are saying. Matt McGloin, like, unloaded on his team. And now he plays for New York, the New York Guardians. And they got shut out by the Defenders. And he was livid. He said, we need to change the whole entire game plan at halftime. He was caught on a mic dissing a player. I mean, it was hilarious. Now, would this work in the NFL? Oh, sure. But boy, God, the problem with the NFL is if you had this kind of access, you'd have probably 1,000 more stories that you really don't want if you're the league office. Right? There'd be one thing to talk about player movement, who did well, who did not so well, et cetera, et cetera. But if you had cameras and microphones in the locker room, you'd have writers writing 5 or 6 more stories that the league probably doesn't want. So-and-so said this about so-and-so. Somebody said this about so-and-so. And the XFL doesn't care. The XFL is like, Matt McGloin, keep talking. This is what we're looking for. We have football, but then we also have this other stuff that we want the fans to really, really enjoy. So who knows what this leads to? I mean, who knows? But that's at least one aspect of the XFL that I do enjoy. It's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Happy President's Day to all of you. As we continue along, coming up, we don't have the good, the bad, and the dumb today because Ron is out, but there is a good I do want to get to. That's next, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Ron is out today. It's with his kids on President's Day. I remember a couple of years ago, I took my wife and I were living in New Jersey, and on President's Day weekend, we went to Philadelphia. You know, see this, you know, Liberty Bell and, you know, all of the sites that you could see in Philadelphia. And you know what I remember most about it? Like, obviously seeing the cool historical sites of Philly was pretty cool. And, you know, we got cheesesteaks and everything like that. But I remember that weekend, for whatever reason, it was really warm for February in Philadelphia. It was like in the 60s. It was really up there. And we were taking a carriage ride. You know, you take those tourist carriage rides around town and they point out some stuff.
So oh, yeah.
Two things about that trip. One, my wife and I were like, let's take a carriage ride around the city. So we went around the city with the kids and whatnot. And it was really fun. And I told my wife, I said, the carriage ride was, I think, $40 for all four of us. Like, it was like 10 bucks a piece. And I said to her, I said, because she had the cash, and I said, give her like $20 as a tip. So let's make it 60. So my wife gave her the money. And as we were walking away, my wife goes, I think I made a mistake. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, I think I gave her 80. And I said, what? She goes, I think there was an extra 20 in there. I just don't know. And I said, really? She goes, yeah, I thought there was another 20 underneath, because it was like, you know, new bills, how they stick together sometimes. She goes, I think it was an extra 20. And I go, well, I mean, I guess we'll just have to pull off and count to see if you did. And literally, as soon as I said that, I kid you not, Michael, as soon as she said that, we could hear the driver go, thank you so much. Really, really appreciate it. Thank you. I go, yeah, you gave her another 20. I was like, there's no way she went that, she'd go that crazy. But we went to go see, the lady told us there was this ice cream place in downtown Philadelphia. There was this really famous ice cream place. So we were like, let's go there. Let's find it. Let's go there. Let's get some ice cream for the kids. The line was down the block. It was like an over an hour wait to get ice cream cones for everybody on this really unbelievably warm President's Day weekend. And I think that was 3 years ago that we went. And now I live in Nashville, Tennessee. And you would think I live closer to the, you know, closer to the down by the Mason-Dixon line, kind of in the south. You'd think like, yeah, maybe it'd just be warm. No, it was cold. I think I'm getting a cold. It was cold and rainy and yucky. It's like, God, I'm done with this. I need spring to hit. Hit now. That's why when I see people, my buddies are all flying into their spring training cities. Where do the Astros train? West Palm Beach?
Yeah.
Florida? So I got another friend, Dave Preston, who comes on the show from WTOP, left this morning to go to West Palm Beach to cover the national spring training all week. I have my friends in Colorado that are heading out to Scottsdale for the Rockies. I'm always a little envious. Even though I live in a nice area that's got pretty good weather most of the time, I'm a little envious of the spring training trips because I can get out of this cold for a little bit. Get out of this cold, this wet, make you sick kind of weather. So we don't have the good, the bad, and the dumb today, but I did want to say one good. I stumbled upon this just kind of over the weekend. I was going through some stories and kind of, you know, perusing a couple of sites. And I saw this story in an entertainment section of one of the papers that I read, that there were these two brothers that 8 years ago loved the movie Toy Story 3. And have decided 8 years ago, which made me go, wow, is that movie that old? I can't believe it. They decided to remake that movie frame for frame using the real toys. And they pulled it off. I checked it out. It was great. Because I remember Toy Story 2 and Toy Story 3 when my daughter was little. That would be on a loop in our house some days. Just throw those on and just have it on all the time. And she loved them and watched them constantly. Now she's older, doesn't really care. But they made it frame by frame. And the only reason I bring this up, And I'll probably bring it up tomorrow with Ron, because we did this thing over Christmas where we talked about the Rankin-Bass holiday specials, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and The Year Without a Santa Claus and all the ones that you know and love from like the 60s, where it was stop action photography. It was stop action, you know, movie. They would take a clay figurine and they would move it an inch and they would take a picture and then they would move it another, not inch. I mean, forget an inch, like a millimeter. And then they would move it a little bit again. They'd take a picture and that's what they did. These two young men using nothing but their cameras, like their phone cameras, did exactly this. They used their iPhone and some software and they took their real toys, like a real Mr. Potato Head, a real Woody doll, a real Buzz Lightyear, and moved them inch by inch to recreate the movie using real toys. Now, that's a labor of love, because I will tell you, as somebody that starts projects and doesn't finish a lot of projects, I give them all the credit in the world for pulling that off. Because I know I would have gotten sick of doing that probably by week 5. If not sooner, and I would have abandoned it. These two took 8 years to put this together. Now, Michael, think about when you were, how old you were 8 years ago, and imagine having the same enthusiasm for something now as you did 8 years before. Right? I mean, one of them is 23, which means he was 15 when this thing started. Think about what you did and what you like to do at 15 in terms of projects and then keeping that going for 8 years. Insane. Insane. So I give them a lot of credit in the world. They really pulled it off. It's unbelievable. It's the full movie. It's the full movie. They used they got permission to do it. They used the audio of the movie, Tom Hanks and Tim Allen and all that. They used that. They just matched it frame by frame with the audio. They did unbelievable work. Unbelievable. So that's a minor good, the bad, and the dumb. I thought I'd keep the tradition alive on a President's Day. I guess the bad would be President's Day, that I don't know why it's a huge deal. When I remember, it, and maybe this is it, so I might need to look this up, isn't President's Day the combination of Washington and Lincoln's birthday?
Well, I just looked it up right now, and it says it's Washington's birthday.
Okay. But isn't Lincoln's birthday around this time, too? I'm not sure. See. Might be. And that's why we celebrate. They just went, you know what? Yeah. Look, we just want to honor both of these guys. Throw them in together.
Yeah, it looks like Abraham Lincoln's birthday is February 12th.
All right. And Washington's birthday is like, what, the 15th, 16th, something like that?
17th today.
17th. All right. Happy birthday, George Washington. How great is that? So you've got Lincoln's on the 12th, you've got Washington on the 17th, so they said, let's just put this together in one thing. Boom, 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 people have the day off, call it a holiday, happy birthday, presidents, let's move on.
So it's not today, it's the 22nd, but looks like it's right in the middle.
All right, very good. So today is, so here's what they did. This is wise, the people who put this together. Used to be Lincoln's birthday, used to be Washington's birthday. Now they make it President's Day. So if you're a big Franklin Pierce fan, this could be your day. If you're a big Warren G. Harding fan, this could be your day. If you like Jimmy Carter, if you like Barack Obama, if you like George Bush, if you like Bill Clinton, today could be your day. Whatever president you like, today's your, it doesn't have to be Lincoln. It doesn't have to be Washington. It could be either one of these guys. Anybody, any of the 40 plus presidents that we have, you could celebrate today and today only. So, all right. The NBA All-Star game last night, I thought was a big rousing success. I thought it was fun. I thought it was competitive. The fourth quarter was really compelling, being given that the All-Star games are not compelling. I thought it was fun. I thought it was a real celebration of the sport, and I thought they really did a good job with honoring Kobe and Gianna and the others who tragically lost their lives in that helicopter crash. You knew it was going to be a little heavy on that. It was, but I didn't think it was too nuts. I didn't think it was too crazy. And again, I mean, how crazy would you really not want it to be? It's Kobe Bryant, for crying out loud. It's the All-Star game. It's where he shined and where he was going to be honored by those around the league who are celebrating the NBA and celebrating him. But I did not think that this would work, and it worked. So I'm wrong. Adam Silver's created something neat about this All-Star game that is worth tuning into. Again, you saw defense in the fourth quarter, which was really awesome. Michael and I were talking about this. You saw James Harden play some defense. You saw Giannis play some really good defense. Chris Paul played really well coming off the bench for Team LeBron. It was more competitive than I thought, given how the teams were picked by both LeBron and Giannis. So I think the All-Star game in the NBA, if it was needing tweaking, if there was something within the internal memo of the league where they were like, we need to do this, we need to generate interest, I think it did that. If you didn't watch it, but you might be catching the wave of the good vibes in which people are saying you did watch it, liked it, you may watch it next year, right? If you were like, I don't need the All-Star game, just wake me up when the season starts again, I'll do something else this Sunday, great. But if you're looking at your sports news this morning, hearing us or whatever, listen, whatever, you might hear a lot of positive reviews of it, and it'll make you think next year I do want to tune in to see what this is all about. So, like I said, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I thought it was really neat. I thought it was, again, a better game than when the game is really the afterthought, really, when it really is. It's just dunks and alley-oops and no defense and no, you know, just have a good time, score as many points, do something funny. Fourth quarter looked like these guys really did want to win. They really did. There was a little bit of pride at stake. They wanted to win. They played better defense. There was a challenge on one of the calls. I mean, look, it gives you the good elements of the NBA in an exhibition like filled with stars. I thought it hit a home run. All right, it's SB Nation AM on Twitter at Tony D Radio. Thanks for joining us here on a Monday on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. All right, so it is President's Day. In case you were wondering what's open and what's closed, obviously this varies from city to city, but I thought this was interesting. You may not be getting mail today, but like Amazon and FedEx will be delivering. Some of the banks are open. Some of the banks are closed. Most of them are. Most schools are closed today. Stock markets are closed in New York. Your garbage pickup may actually not be running today, but you never know. You might have to check. DMV, all of the U.S. DMVs will be closed. And some were closed all the way through the weekend, Saturday included. Courts will not be in session today. Courts are closed as well. The grocery store is open, and the President's Day sales for most retail stores might be going on in your area. I got this from my local paper. They were like a little concerned about what, hey, listen, today's a day off for many of you. Did you want to know what was open? Would you want to know what was closed? Here's the list. So I'm providing a public service. Let's just leave it at that. Chris Paul was the reason why, by the way, that this All-Star game had such a competitive edge to it. He went to Adam Silver last summer, said he wanted it to be more than just a game of alley-oops and whatnot, and they put something on the line. So if you didn't watch last night, the NBA All-Star game is now, here's what it was yesterday. It was three quarters, and each quarter was an individual game. So you would win at the end of the quarter, and that was for charity. So then what would happen in the fourth quarter was you would take the scores, and then you would add them up, and who was leading the game. Let's say they had 100 points after three quarters, then they would add 24 to that total, and whoever got to that total first won. So, you know, in this case, Team LeBron beat Team Giannis 157-155. Anthony Davis won it at the free throw line, getting the points that were necessary. It was kind of cool because this game had a little bit of a competitive aspect to it. So now what you saw was, as we've been talking about all morning, you saw like charges that were taken. You saw, again, pressure defense. You saw blocks. I mean, you saw guys really stepping up the competitiveness of the quarter. And that's all because Chris Paul, probably with the aid of others, really wanted the game to be competitive. And think about this for a second. You had a game that honored Kobe Bryant, a game that was trying to honor his legacy. And what better way to honor his legacy in an All-Star game, right? Now, you can make the argument on honoring him in other ways, than trying to have the game actually mean enough to bring out the competitiveness in each and every one of them, because that's what Kobe was known for. The stories that we're hearing since his death about his drive for excellence are amazing, right? They're pretty incredible, right? About people that had to stay up with him because he said, I've got to work on this. So I'm going to be up until 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning at this gym. I need you at, you know, I need you in this location. I need you to help me with this. I won't stop until I get this right. Right. So look, you're spending the All-Star weekend. Part of the All-Star weekend is celebrating the league, is celebrating the game of basketball. But this one in particular, Kobe and his legacy was out there in full force, out there in full, for full appreciation and for full memorial. To have the All-Star game competitive as best it could, knowing the competitiveness of Kobe Bryant, I think added some flavor to this. Really added a lot to this. And I think that made the weekend a good tribute to Kobe and his daughter and the rest who died in the helicopter crash. You know, it was also incredibly entertaining. And you don't usually get entertaining when it comes to All-Star games. You usually just get the game. You know, sometimes they're pretty good, but the NBA All-Star game was never about winning. It was never about what the final score really was. It was about showcasing skills offensively. It never was about showcasing anything defensively. And this time you got it. You got some defense, and you got competitiveness, and you got a good exhibition, and you got a good tribute.